Well, I tell you, New Beginnings Community Church has got the best looking people. Not in Lake Jackson, but of all Brazoria County, I think. Look at you. Woo! How about that worship? We're blessed with talent, church. We are blessed. Good job. Good job, team. In keeping in the spirit of worship, we are going to take up this morning's tithes and offerings. So if I could invite the ushers to come, and Eric Indian, our very own Eric Indian, is going to pray over the offering this morning. Come on up.
Good morning.
Yep.
We're good? All right. We're good. So I want to read scripture. You know, it's vital we base our life on the Word of God. And so I just want to read back what God says to us. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord God. We thank you for your promises in your word, Lord God. And Lord God, we thank you just for the prosperity that you bring into our lives, Lord God. But Lord God, I know that it's from you. Lord God, I pray that we give with a cheerful heart today, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that the seed that we sow today, Father God, would just be on fertile ground, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for this, Lord God. We thank you for this awesome church. We thank you for our awesome pastor, Lord God. And we just worship you in our tithes and offerings. And we thank you for this, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. One quick tag on before we launch into what I have prepared for all of us this morning. Many of you have gotten, if you're on the church email list, and just a side note, if you want to be included on that email list, just put that in a card in the gray box attached to the sound booth. We will add you to our church-wide email list. But you probably saw, if you get those, last week, kind of a last call for baptisms. Now, if you show up that morning when we have baptism, we haven't set the date yet, but we're going to baptize you. Amen? But last call, please let myself or Kiki know if you are interested in baptism. We are nailing down the date. We are looking at probably the last week in July or the first week in August. And it's just it's a great Sunday. It's a Sunday. If you're getting baptized or not, or if you know somebody that's getting baptized or not, you're going to want to bring a friend. Amen? Because, boy, these testimonies and the commitments that these candidates are making to follow Christ, to dedicate their lives to Christ is so powerful. You will not be disappointed. Amen? Well, this morning I want to talk simply about praise. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
We praise our kids. We praise our coworkers. We praise our teammates. We praise our pets. We praise our spouses. We praise people in general. When there's been something that we identify that they've done right, or that blesses us, or that some way, shape, or form has a positive effect on us or someone we love. I remember back when we were potty training our first child. Oh, speaking of which, she's home from college. She graduated last week. Hey, baby girl. I remember when we were potty training Karis, and, you know, being the clueless father that I am, following cues from my wife, she says, Now, Brad, we've been talking with Karis about this, and we're going to no longer use diapers. We're going to, you know, be diaper-free here with her, and this is what you need to do. You need to praise her when she tells you that she has to go. I'm like, okay, I got this, you know. And, you know, lo and behold, probably the day or so following, looks me straight in the eyes, and I got to go potty. So what does a parent do? Scoop the child up. you know, we make it down, turn left at the bedroom, and then right into the bathroom, and then you drop them in, you're like, oh, didn't make it. Close, though. Close. You can see it in their face. You were close. You were close. But we praise them. We say, good job. Thank you for telling me. And then when they actually tell you and you're able to succeed, make it in time, you give them all kinds of praise. You enforce that behavior. You do something demonstratively to communicate that you approve of that behavior. Now, on a much grander scale, the Bible has all kinds of things concerning our praise to God. We praise God. We praise Him for what He has done for us. Now, we worship Him, and we worship Him because of His characteristics, His attributes, who He is. But we praise Him, the Scriptures show and model through many characters in the Bible, that we praise Him for what He has done for us. And that's good. Matter of fact, the first song that we sang today, we're praising God for what He has done for us, the cross. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for Calvary. We praise you for the blood of the Lamb. We praise God, and that is a part of our Christian walk, our Christian life, is praising God for that which He has done and is doing and will do in our lives. We praise Him. One of the primary distinctives of Protestantism is a doctrine called the priesthood of all believers. How many of you have heard of that doctrine? You've heard of it if you've been through Emmaus, right? The priesthood of all believers quite simply says, we no longer need a priest to offer up sacrifices for our sins. We can go to the cross. We don't need a person to represent us. We don't need a person to confess our sins to. We, as priests, can go right to the priest, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the priest of all believers. Now, about a year ago, I mentioned this doctrine, and I used it to reinforce that not only can we go directly to Father God through the chief priest, but that we serve God, we serve others in a priestly manner. If you were here on Wednesday, I reminded all of us quite emphatically in John chapter 21, toward the end there, where Jesus is reconciling His relationship with Peter. You know, Jesus is saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Then do this. If you really love me, then do these things. Feed my lambs. Feed those who I'm going to send you. Feed those who are in your life. And when I've taught on this and I've said, church, we need not just to sit in pews. We need not just to get comfortable in what He has done. That's important to acknowledge that. But then we are equipped to be little priests in our communities, in the body of Christ, that we are to feed the lambs, that we are to serve, that we are to do, that we are to go out and advance the kingdom, partnering with God. That's another chief doctrine. We are co-laborers with Christ, that we work out our faith. We work out our ministries as priests. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, you don't have to turn there. I'll read. Chapter 4, verse 14 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ our Lord, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. As we are walking out our faith in Him, we have a great high priest. Moreover, the author, who I believe was Paul, in chapter 9 of the same book, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, says this, but when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, He went through a greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. No. That is to say, it's not a part of His creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once and for all by His own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Now, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to this next passage that I'm going to read. Same book, Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to quite simply hone in on verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. So we've laid the groundwork. We're the priest of all believers. We are walking out our faith as priests, serving the most, as Scripture says, the great high priest. But listen to what it says. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let me read it again. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. So no longer bulls and goats. Let us sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, what instrument? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let me pray over the word. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this passage and what it means. It's clear in its directive. And I pray, God, that we would incorporate the sacrifices of praise in our life continually. Amen. So you get it? We no longer rely on the priests for sacrifices. We don't have to take animals to the altar as a sacrifice of the Lord. Matter of fact, the new covenant is better than the old covenant. There's a more excellent way, and His name is Jesus Christ. But there is something that we bring to the, quote, tabernacle of the Lord, to the altar of the Lord, to our relationship with the Lord. We bring a sacrifice of praise via the fruit of our lips. And you know, the Hebrew author is in great company with the Apostle Paul. If, let's say, the book of Hebrews, which is somewhat controversial on who wrote it, is in line with Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually," here it is, verse 18, "give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." There's an emphatic teaching in just what I have read about how we live out our faith. That we continually give God sacrifices of praise. That the praises of our Lord should be quick and frequent on our lips throughout all times, throughout all our days. Well, let me hone in on the frequency part. You know, when we were in school, a topic would be thrown out, and, you know, usually the English teachers would say, well, what is the how, the when, and the where? So let's just go there just for the sake of clarity in what Scripture is teaching. Because the Psalms, and David in particular, he really hammers this point. And so that's what I want to do today. 3 points. I'll have you out here in no time. But I want to answer how, when, and where do we praise the Lord? You say, Pastor, you built the foundation. Let's go. Let's get specific. Because I may struggle with this. It might only come maybe once a day, or certainly on a Wednesday and then on Sunday. So let me answer the question, the how, the when, and the where. The first, how do we praise the Lord? Well, as I just stated in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it's the fruit of the lips. We do a lot of things with our lips, right? We kiss, we whistle, we eat, we yawn, we speak, we relegate breathing, and we also praise our Lord. We not just praise Him with words, but with shouting those words. Psalm 47, verse 1. The psalmist says, "Come, everyone, clap your hands," and here it is, "shout to God with a joyful praise." And we heard some of that today, right? We shouted for joy. We lifted our voice and we said, "Praise You, God. Praise You for who You are." Another way that we can praise God is with lifted hands, right? Psalm 63, verse 4 says this, "I will praise You as long as I live." There's the great command, as long as you live. "Lifting up my hands to You in prayer and praise." You know, there's a lot of Christian traditions and denominations, for that matter, that don't really practice this, right? Kind of early on, this was kind of like, you know, the crazies down at the little white church with Pentecostal in their name somewhere, or the tabernacle somewhere in the name, right? But then over time, you kind of saw the connection, and it was biblical. And then some of our frozen, chosen friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord that I think have their hands strapped, zip-tied to their legs when they walk into church, they're like, oh, okay, brother so-and-so did it, and sister so-and-so did it, so I can get a little more undignified. And then they come up. Matter of fact, there's a comedian out there on the internet. Just type in church hand raising. I forget his name, but he's hilarious. And he says, you know, there's all these different styles of hand raisings in the church. I think he calls this one carry the baby. He calls this one changing the light bulbs. He calls this one the goalpost, you know, touchdown. You know the comedian, right? And there's something behind it. Think about when we're at a game and we're spectating and something happens that we're in favor of. Yeah! I mean, that's just natural. No one taught me that. And when my kids did something right, I was like, high five, right? Like, good grades. Good job getting a job. It comes natural to use our hands to show praise and affirmation, right? We praise Him with singing. And again, we did that today. Psalm 135, verse 3 says this: praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Celebrate His lovely name with music. With music. Now, again, there's been a God thing in the church that we've had more instruments, more talent up on stage and in small groups when we lift our voice, and maybe it'll be accompanied by a guitar. We see that the instruments in a greater measure have been incorporated into our praise of God. Our music, we lift our voices, we use our lips, we use the talent that God has given us. And we praise Him also with our whole heart. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise You, Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of the marvelous things that You have done. Well, what does He mean by His whole heart? This organ we call heart? No. In the Greek, it's cardia, but it really represents the epicenter of who we are. It's the thing that tells us what we like, what we don't like. Are we happy? Are we sad? What makes us unique to the person sitting to the left or to the right? It's the epicenter. It's the personhood lodged in that which is Brad, and Kiki, and Gary. And we're to praise Him with who we are, our individuality, who we are in Him. Lord, I praise You. And we're not concerned about how the Joneses or the Smiths praise God, or Tim or Sally praise God. But it's from our heart. It's from the epicenter of who we are, our identity in Him. And that is what the psalmist is saying. I praise You, Lord. With all of Brad, I will tell You of all the marvelous things that You have done. I recognize, I learn, I affirm, I'm voting yes of what I see and read in Scriptures, and I praise You with all my heart. Well, great. That's how we praise God, and that's just scratching the surface. The Scriptures actually have a lot of different ways and characters that model different situations and how they praised the God of Israel. The second, well, when do we praise God? You said how, when? When does this happen? Well, we praise Him from sunrise to sunset. Psalm 113, verse 3 says this: everywhere, from the east to the west, in other words, from the sun rising to the sun setting, we praise the Lord. You know, I remember years and years ago, when I was about Caleb's age, we would go visit my mother's mom and dad, my grandma and grandpa Noble. And I remember saying to my mother, hey, why does grandpa get out of bed so slowly? You know, I would be up and ready to, you know, run and do and play and all these things. And I knew that he kind of took his time. And one day I had actually observed him getting out of bed. And this time in their lives, they actually slept in separate rooms. He snored and she snored and she had some health issues. And so I peeked in on him and, you know, he would kind of roll over and then throw one leg out and kind of move around a little bit, and right? And then he'd slowly get up, and then he just kind of roll the shoulders, move back, and that boggled my mind. Because being eight, you know, I'm like, whoom, you know, boom, you know, I'm just off and running to the bathroom, and then to the TV, and then, you know, wherever, the backyard. And that was my morning routine. His morning routine is slow and low. And I asked my mom, I said, why does he do that? She says, well, there's all kinds of aches and pains, honey. You know, and I mean, he's in his 70s and, you know, et cetera. And that there's wisdom there and et cetera, et cetera. And I just couldn't get it. I just didn't understand. Now I do. I really do. I really do. I'm not quite that slow, but ask my wife. It's coming. Thank you, Linda. It is coming. I go a little slower in the morning, and I do have a routine. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, I was involved in a car accident. My back was a little jacked up, and I went through some PT, and it's better. But I get up slower than I did even 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But part of my morning routine is to immediately think about the Lord, to open up my Gateway Bible app. And by the way, somebody texted me not too long ago. He said, hey, you know, Pastor, what Bible app do you use? One I recommend. This morning's sermon is brought to you by Gateway Bible. It's a great app, very user-friendly. But I hit the button, and I read, so my mind is set on the Word of God. Now, this doesn't happen every morning, but most mornings. This is part of my routine. I get up slowly, I hit my app, and then like James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 this morning. But the wisdom that comes from above leads us. And then my first words, and sometimes it's just the softest little whisper, praise you. Praise you. So I've gotten up with the Word of God and praising Him. And praising Him. And it has made a difference in my life, the rhythms. Because, church, if we orient ourselves, and I had a whole sermon on this last year, if you were here, it once again just reaffirmed and spoke to me afresh the importance of orienting our lives on Jesus Christ. And we praise Him. We thank Him. The first fruits of our lips. And, church, we all know, right? Our lips can get us in trouble. The Bible says it's the instrument of life or death. And I start off with saying, praise you, God. When do we praise? From morning and all the way throughout the day. And it just doesn't, you know, stop with kind of the morning and then revisit it right around noon and then a little bit in the evening. I praise Him in the car. Even if I've got, like, you know, some secular music on, I'm praising Him for the things that He has given or the things that I have just receive from a text about a shout out of praise or these kinds of things. I'm praising Him. I'm trying to pepper Him all day long with praises. Some days are better than others. Some days I can go hours, unfortunately, I confess, without praising Him. But I try. That's my goal, is to forever on the tip of my tongue be praising the Lord. And you know, church, this is one of the reasons why on Wednesday nights, and if you have not been out on a Wednesday night, I encourage you to come. We've got great food from 6 to 7, and then a lesson from 7 to 8. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's a testimony, sometimes it's Brother Eric. I mean, you will not be disappointed. But I always start that 7 o'clock hour after worship with a time of praise. like praise reports. What say you, church? God sightings. Because I want to foster that in our community. It was already in existence. Matter of fact, when I first arrived, they used to do a time of prayer requests and praise before Sunday and Wednesday. But I love the fact that it sets the tone for the teaching, that we're reminded once again of what God has done in our lives. And it's not just our own lives, right? It's you over here. It's there. I mean, I got on the phone with Brother Phil. Can I share? Wednesday night, we were praying. He had an interview. Thursday morning, we heard it again, praying. We're praying for him. I called him after that. And guess what? They've invited him back for this Tuesday. And I'm praising God for what God is doing in Phil's life. See, he wants to transfer. No one from your business is here right now, right? No. Okay. So he wants to get out of his current job and go to this new place. That was a prayer request, very public prayer request. And we prayed, and I praised God, and I know he's praising God. So we can praise him anytime, any setting. We can get creative. How do we praise? When do we praise? Last but not least, where do we praise? Well, we praise him in the congregation, just like today. Psalm 135, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord. Here it is, verse 2. You who minister in the house of the Lord. We were ministering to each other and we didn't even know it. Led by a minister and we didn't even know it. Ministered to and praising God in response. We praise him in the congregation. Psalm 35, verse 18 says this. I will give thanks in the great assembly, the gathering of the saints. Among the throngs, I will praise you. Among the population, I will praise you. See, it's not just a stoic, isolated, religious activity we do in the quiet of our own home. We do that, and then we get up many times, Wednesdays, Sundays, small groups, Emmaus, and we praise them in the congregation, in the assembly of brothers and sisters. And God's Word says he actually inhabits that to a greater degree. And we know sometimes, you know, I'll hear, boo, 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 boo. Oh, great service. I really felt the presence of God. You know why? He's attracted to the praise of his people. He hones in. Oh my goodness, I'm taking note. I'm in tune. I'm speaking in kind of, you know, creature vernacular, right? God's everywhere. He's all-knowing, right? But there's something, there's a heightened, in a beautiful God way that he likes and he inhabits the praises of his people. We praise him in the congregation. Where else do we praise him? As I just stated, in private. Psalm 119:62, David says, at midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. Recently, church, listen to this. Recently, and unfortunately, I've done this probably 24 times that I can count in the last 30 years. 24 max. That even might be a stretch. Recently, I've been hearing where saints will say, God got me up at 3 a.m. God got me up at 2 a.m. God got me up at 2 o'clock, 2:13 in the morning. And I went to John chapter 2:13 and I read and he spoke to me. I've heard it time and time again. I believe as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, he's going to shake our stuff. He's going to shake us up. He's going to wreck our schedules in a really, really good way and wake us up at midnight. When our body is saying, stay down, the Spirit's saying, get up. I got something to tell you. And we're going to praise him. We're going to praise him. Amen. Where do we praise him? Praise him in the congregation. We praise him in private, in everything in between. Everything in between. Well, let's bring this in for a landing. You might be saying, Pastor, I say yes. I praise him. I'm with you. Yes, yes, and amen. But I don't feel many times, especially when you just mentioned getting up, when I know that the Lord has knocked me up, knocked on my door early in the morning to get up. I don't feel like praising him. And what I'm going through right now, I don't feel like saying, praise you, God. It just, I get it, He's God, but I just don't feel like praising Him. I've had that. I've had those times. I'm with you. I get it. I understand. Well, what can motivate us? What can help us? What can help me and you and you and you to create a greater, on the tip of our tongue, praise lifestyle in our Christian walk? Well, just a couple of scriptures, I think, that would help us to get there. Because we do. If we had knobs and buttons to push, more prayer, more praise, more worship, more self-control, more control of the tongue. Right? We would hit the right buttons. We get it. But we don't feel like doing it. We don't have that discipline. It comes with a heavy labor attachment to it. Well, just a couple of scriptures that I think can shed light, could actually help us. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. And quite simply, the psalmist is just saying, recall, remember, take time and just look at how last week went, how last month went, how last year went, how last extended season went, and see the highlights, the points, the praises, the God sightings, where God showed up. You were in the trenches, you say, God, you got to show up. Write those down. Keep them on the forefront of your mind. That was Israel. We got this all day long. We have Bibles all day long. The Bibles that they had were these big, long, heavy scrolls, and only a selected few were able to have them and carry them. They relied upon this, and they remembered the deliverance out of Egypt. They remembered that God had showed up, that God is pursuing them, that their God is more diligently seeking them than they are diligently seeking Him. Remember, just take a moment. Think about the miracle of salvation in your life, the times that He showed up. That will help you praise Him. And then, this might sound a little selfish, but think about the benefits you have knowing Him, Him saving you, how life is different. The bennies. The benefits that you actually have, the things that made your life better. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 says this, praise the Lord, O my soul, and my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives your sins, who heals your diseases, who redeems the life from the pit, who crowns you with the love and the compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that you in your youth is renewed like the eagles. Just remember when He showed up, but then remember what He is saying, I will give you. These are the benefits. You know, when you get a new job, you look at the base pay, but then you look at the benefits. And you can get really excited about the bennies. Yes, this is coming in check form, but I've got these benefits. Yes, we've got salvation. Heaven's going to happen when we die. But guess what? Life can be abundant. In a healing and a sanctifying life right now. Those are the bennies of the kingdom. Yeah, it's not a perfect life. Yeah, I mean, you know, I talked about the influence of Satan just a few weeks ago. Things can happen. The shrapnel of a fallen world can hit us. But when we're walking in obedience and we're staying on the path of righteousness and holiness, life gets better. It's a more peaceful, stable life. Not imperfect. It is a life that is completely different from that which if you were not walking with Him. If you were walking down the path of rebellion, it is going to be different from the path of righteousness and holiness and obedience. It's a difference. Talk to anybody that's been walking with the Lord and they will say, hey, it ain't perfect. I'm still in the trenches on this. I still battle that, but it is better. It is a lot better. We can be motivated by God's holy word, remembering the deeds, the miracles, the times that He showed up, and the benefits of being and living in His kingdom. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity each and every day, every moment of every day, actually, to praise you. And God, we just scratched the surface on how and when and where. But God, I pray, Jesus, that as we have answered these with just a few scriptures, that we would leave here today a congregation, a body of believers, praising you a little more, a little quicker, a little bit more sincere, a little bit more from our heart, that we would be a people of praise in a dying, miserable world would take note. Because God, you just didn't die for our sins. You died for theirs too. You're a loving God, a pursuing God, a God that is meeting the world with open arms. And so God, I pray as we become a people of praise to a greater degree that a fallen, dying, praiseless world would turn to you. Let us truly be a city on a hill. Let our light shine brightly. Let us be the oil to that squeak that needs attention. Let us feed the hungry, clothe the naked, sit with the downtrodden, and pray with the afflicted. God, I pray for this. Let us not just take the bennies and sit back and coast into the kingdom, but let us be proactive. Let us be a doing, a going. In our priesthood of all believers, God, I pray that you would chart our course to minister with full-on faith and grace. That's what your word promises. That's what we believe. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.